Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are at Yum's and Jennings Cafe. I got it right here in the sign. I held it up right here. The Craft Beer Festival, Sunday, August 18th, 12 to 5. Where am I going to be Sunday? Oh, I'm going to be in Catonsville. That's where I'm going to be. $25 tickets.
Going to be incredible. Music, beer.
Duclaw, Key, Monument, Reckless, Jailbreak, Windbridge Farm, The Brewer's Art.
Jailbreak.
Charles City, Mead Works. You know what mead is? It's not like beer, but it's like beer. I've tasted it. And Flying Dog, of course. We're at Yomps. We're in Catonsville. Paul Taberzi is our guest at segment two, episode 36, 7. I don't know what we are.
I'm going to interrupt you because you were not only... We come and eat where at our sponsors' places.
Yes, we do.
Not only because they're our sponsors, they're great. Tell people about your cheeseburger the other
day. All right, so
a great story.
I've been coming to Jennings for a couple months, and Mueller keeps saying, get the burger. And I'm like, I'm not in the mood for a burger. So I got the crab cake. It's delicious. I got a salad. It was delicious. I had the wings. I've had a lot of stuff. Finally, he was not here the other day. I had a lunch appointment here, and Pete and I were just here working, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a burger. I was in the mood. And I said, what kind of burger? And she said, well, get the Jennings burger. I looked at it. I'm like, all right, bacon, I like that. Cheddar bacon, good. I'm okay with that. Onions, fried onions, I like that. Barbecue sauce. I mean, like
the
Jimmy
Jennings
Buffett.
Burger.
Jimmy Buffett's Heinz 57
right,
French
fry. Right, right.
And I'm thinking, well, it's kind of like Heinz 57. And I've had Heinz 57 on a burger because Jimmy told me to do it, right? And I'm like, bring that on the side for me, Miss Sherry. You know, so she brought it, and I tried it, and I took one bite, and I'm like, why have I never had barbecue on a burger before? So,
but the burger itself, outstanding, right?
Well, it's the bread. I mean, the bread is unbelievable. It was big, and the fried. Yeah, I'm gonna get another one.
So people don't know Paul. Being from the other side of town, Nestor and Eastside Boy. Right across the street, Franco's. Listen, it is amazing what's happened because you talk about supporting.
Yeah, I grew up on Deep Pasquale's. You can't take him out of Highland Town.
You talk about supporting the region, but we say to folks all of the time that one of the things that's happened, and again, a lot of the credit for that goes to former Baltimore County Executive Jim Smith, who really wanted to focus on these neighborhood downtowns, is Catonsville's evolution is sort of a dining destination. Has been something that 30 years ago I didn't think I would see, but as Nestor can attest, in addition to Jennings, you know, come on out to Catonsville, take that trip from the city, visit out here, and then go back and eat all the great restaurants in the city. Lots going on.
Well, we're going to bring the whole Greater Baltimore Committee Board of Directors. We're going to bring everybody a DLA Piper. We're coming to Jennings.
There you go.
I appreciate
get
it.
A
we're
burger.
Coming.
You know, we're coming.
This is a good jump off because you said something to me, and I learned. You say stuff, and I learn in the middle of it, which was this was Jim Smith's vision, right? Of these city centers.
Absolutely was.
Downtown Towson, obviously, there's a lot of investment there around the mall. I'm from Dundalk. It hasn't come yet, but we are going to have Trade Point Atlantic to talk about what's going on at Sparrows Point. There's a new arena over here, and there's a new arena in Towson, literally, in the last decade, right? For the Towson campus, but for UMBC. Soccer is near and dear to your heart, and sports has been a big part of what you've done. I know you through sports. I don't know you through your political activities or Kathleen Kennedy Towns or any of those stuff you've done. I know of you as a Stadium Authority guy and bringing the Chelsea game here and getting to know all that, and the World Cup we're going to have in a couple years as well.
Right.
But the arena thing is something that has always been on the lips of all of us since the Civic Center was built in the early 60s. I remember Ed Hale was trying to do something up in Timonium, and we've had all – there's still – is this drawing and this thought that maybe there would be an arena here someday, right? That's a dream of yours, right?
Okay, well, let's talk about the arena, then let's talk about soccer, and they're actually connected. By the way, for soccer, we do have the Baltimore Blast, great team, great franchise, Ed Hale, good man. They're now playing at Towson, wonderful facilities there, Tim Leonard and Kim Schatzel, and so that's a great success story. No, the GBC, we're not finished yet, but the great Bill McCarthy, executive director of Catholic Charities.
I've reached out to Bill. He's going to
great
come
guy. He's leading a group to look at the question of a new arena or refurbishing the existing arena. And by the way, Frank Remish does a terrific job at the Baltimore Arena.
Yes, he does.
Wonderful guy, salt of the earth. And that place, if you were at the fight last Saturday, place was sold out. It was on Showtime. It looked gorgeous. So the arena we have now does a good job. Frank does a good job.
I don't dislike our arena, and I've told Frank this. Right. Even you know, Frank and I don't communicate much. But I am the proponent of this arena. You know, I love the Royal Farms Arena. I love walking there.
I grew up there just
Civic Center.
When I walk in there, there's a piece of me there.
Right.
And I don't
correct.
Ever want to drive by there and not see it there
in some way.
And it would be different if it were dark and rat infested and nothing came and nobody wants to be there. To your point, every time it's used, every time I go there, whether it's seeing the Rolling Stones 13 years ago, U2,
Bruce,
the Eagles,
Buffett.
Bruce twice.
U2.
Buffett, they've all played there,
right.
And it's fine.
Well, it's kind of a workhorse. I do think we could probably do better, certainly in an aesthetic way. It's old, but it's perfectly fine. So we're looking at this. We looked at what Providence did. Interestingly, Providence refurbished their arena while it was in use. Kind of amazing. We had I forget the gentleman's name, nice Italian guy from Providence. They tore it apart while
him right
he was
away.
He was
you
Italian,
right
my
away.
Man. Paisan, they're all Italian in Providence. But I think it was maybe $150 million, and it's gorgeous now. Providence, the college, plays there. There are a couple of other ideas around town. Some developers, some great people have ideas that I'm not at liberty to get into yet, but people have some ideas for a new arena.
Well,
and we're looking at it.
And the Hippodrome and Camden Yards.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about
You could connect it to the convention center. There are a lot of ideas, and it is something we're looking at. We'll probably announce something later in the year, but it is something we're looking at under Bill McCarthy. And stay tuned. There's some good ideas out there. In the meantime, go down to the arena. Remish will take care of you. It's perfectly fine. So.
Well, talk about your love for soccer.
Soccer. Let's talk about soccer.
Paul is a soccer guy.
Well,
help him first of all.
Pete Carinci over UMBC. Petey
is my guy. Well, I grew up in Highlandtown. Everybody played soccer, but it's funny. I ended up going to Loyola Blakefield, and I played lacrosse. I never saw a lacrosse stick in Highlandtown, but I fell in love with it. I played at Loyola College, played clubs. So lacrosse was the game I played. I love lacrosse. Great to see Loyola win the national championship. But I've always liked soccer as a spectator, and it is the global sport. As Pele said, it's the beautiful game, and Baltimore has a rich tradition of soccer. Again, we have the Blast, that's indoor soccer. This is really outdoor soccer, which is kind of a different game. We don't have an outdoor professional soccer team, but it's something we're working on. And I'll tell you, there are a couple of different tracks. One, thanks to Dick Cass and the Ravens and the Maryland Stadium Authority, Terry Hasseltine, great people, you know, we'll continue to have friendlies or Gold Cup or other major events either at M&T or maybe even Oriole Park. You could play soccer at Oriole Park. It would fit. And Chelsea AC Milan, you mentioned, Nestor, I'm very proud. I was the chairman of something called the Camden Yards Sports and Entertainment Commission under both Governor Ehrlich and Governor O'Malley. Our job was to bring events to downtown Baltimore to Camden Station. And I went out, I met with Dick 100 times. It's funny, I used to get on his nerves. Soccer, 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 soccer. I'd go out there. And Dick, by the way, terrific guy.
Yeah. Another
GBC board member. But
and again, it's hard. You're right. But eventually.
But
another great guy. And isn't that the theme?
We have great people.
Well, there are trying
I said at my GBC speech last year, wonderful institutions. This year I said, wonderful people.
Amazing.
And with the people we've all named. But anyway, the Ravens, and you have to thank the Ravens or the Orioles when they did Billy Joel. The teams generally put the money up. So you got to thank a Dick Cass when finally he said, oh, you're right, Paul, let's do soccer. And the perfect game, Chelsea AC Milan, 10 years ago, 71,000 people. Proud I had a little
Don,
bit to
it
do with
it. Don, it was an incredible night. Don, you're not a soccer guy, right?
Amazing.
You were not down there that night, were you?
I am not a soccer guy, but let me add this, and I'm enjoying the conversation. I will say this, and I don't know what it's all about. I guess there's an element of patriotism and other with the World Cup. We were down at the beach this year for the final.
When the ladies were playing.
When the ladies
right,
were
right,
playing.
Right.
And it was 11 in the morning for the finals. And I will tell you that our unit was packed with kids and adults just hanging on every moment.
Right, right.
And I thought to myself, this is unreal. Here I am, not a soccer guy, so to speak, and I'm hanging. I mean, every time a ball would hit the post or there'd be a great save, I was living and dying. So something's happening with soccer.
Well, Well, again, this is sports and why Nestor is so important. Sports brings people together. Black, white, young, old, rich, poor. And in soccer...
I'm going to say that in a copy of Purple Ring 2 I brought for you. Just
seriously.
Just so you know that, yes.
But soccer, like the World Cup, nations come together, people cheer for their nations. So anyway, one track will be you'll continue to get big games like that thanks to the Ravens and maybe even, you know, you might even see something at Oriole Park. It's possible. Big matches, so-called friendlies. And we're going to have the World Cup in 2026. We're all going to be here. We're all going to go. And thanks to the Stadium Authority, Tom Kelso, Mike Friends do a great job. Baltimore will be in the running to host the World Cup in 2026. Imagine that. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. The second thing I've been working on...
Well, the economic, before you go to the second thing, the economic impact of that, Paul, is somebody interested in the Greater Baltimore Committee.
Well, I'm going to have a story for you on World Cup, too, but...
Right. Right. Well, no, we've already talked. I've been to many games.
Amazing.
But imagine it in downtown Baltimore. Clearly, it's in the U.S. in 2026. Right. We've got to kind of compete to get a game. But M&T would be perfect for soccer. The other thing we've been working on, we'll talk about this. I've been working with something called the United Soccer League, the USL, which is the league below the MLS. I compare it to the Norfolk Tides, the AAA baseball. Mm-hmm. Really good soccer, well-run league. Cities like Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Sacramento, Orlando, major league cities, and there's real interest in the USL to come to Baltimore. They would love to come to Baltimore, and those games attract, well, Cincinnati was drawing like 20,000, 30,000 people, and they're going to move up to the MLS, Major League Soccer, but typically you draw 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 to see, quote, minor league, but really good pro soccer, and Baltimore would be perfect for it. And I've been involved with a number of different groups. You might be hearing more about that later in the year, but they desperately want to come. One of the challenges that Don and I were talking offline, you know, where would they play? Because Baltimore doesn't really have a 10,000-seat stadium. We've got some great college facilities, Towson University, and again, thanks to Kim Schatzel and Tim Leonard, they're open to having different events there. But you might have to build a smallish kind of soccer stadium, maybe at Port Covington, Westport, someplace downtown. People have talked about that. So, and that would be great for Baltimore soccer.
Well, D.C. has built that facility down next to the baseball stadium.
For D.C. United.
It's incredible.
D.C. United was actually my client. I was very blessed. After I chaired the Camden Yards Sports Commission, I was the lawyer for D.C. United because they looked seriously about Prince George's County, Montgomery County, and Baltimore. They were very serious about moving to Westport, which is a nice development.
Well, they needed a home.
They needed a home.
They couldn't play at RFK Stadium.
Exactly.
20 years. You know, it went on forever. I got a story for you.
Okay.
Paul DeBerzi's here, GBC chair. Also, I know you through soccer and through sports. Don, I don't know if you know this story, so I'm gonna give you this. 2006, we went to Germany for the World Cup. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Budweiser was a sponsor. John Dow, one of my dear friends and one of the people that is the reason I'm here today. I went over with my wife. We stayed in Amsterdam. We had a flat for 10 days, and we drove in and out of Germany to see the U.S. team play. So we were there in Gelsenkirchen when we lost to the Czech Republic and the losing 2-0 3 minutes in. We were also in Kaiserslautern when McBride bled, and they played 9-on-10, uh-huh. and we played Italy.
Yeah,
I walked into that pitch, and everybody in the place was singing, Volare, Cantare. So... I went over there in that trip. I was in Amsterdam. I was in Dortmund, which is where, and this is an interesting story, Niels, who saved my wife's life, lives 3 miles from the pitch in Dortmund. He was 12 years old when my wife was there, and he would go on to save my wife's life twice. So he's from Dortmund, Germany. So I'm in Germany, and I saw in Berlin, I didn't get to go to Berlin, but in Berlin they would have literally 1 million people every day come to the festival on the river to watch the games on the flat screens.
Amazing.
So they turned Berlin into a sports bar, legitimately, right? I flew from Amsterdam down to Zurich, Switzerland, to be able to go to the U.S.-Italy game in Kaiserslautern. And when I landed in Zurich and I went to downtown Zurich, there was a giant festival. Giant. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. talking 20,000 people in the square, drinking beer, eating food. What we would consider to be opening day for baseball.
Right.
It had that vibe to it, right? In Zurich, I came back and I called Ed Hale. I called the Greater Baltimore Committee. I called Terry Hasseltine. Right. I called everybody I knew and said, I have seen what we should do here.
Right,
this is what we should do here. We should turn Baltimore into Soccer Town, USA for the 2010 Cup, which was in South Africa, right? 2014 came after that, 2018. And we were trying to get to 22. The 18
right.
and the 22.
Right.
And Terry gave me a jersey that says Baltimore on the back. It's a U.S. team jersey. It's a 10 jersey. It's 2010 South Africa jersey. And it says Baltimore 22 on the back because we were trying to get to 22 here. So I met with all these people and I said, we need to be the official place that people from Washington, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, the East Coast soccer hub that would help us to get these games. And we could throw a party, we could have beer, we could have boats in the harbor with giant TVs, and people would bring their chairs around the harbor at all times of the day.
Well, sounds to me like you ought to get Nestor on your committee.
Maybe I should be mayor.
It's a great idea.
It brings
the passion. It brings
people
together.
I brought this idea in the summer of 2006. I came because my wife and I live at the harbor,
and
we would go and sit and drink coffee at the harbor in the morning, and I'd look out. And I just sit there and I'd say, man, can you imagine 50,000 Brazilians in Baltimore because they can get here, it's cheap, we make it affordable, we make it Brazil. We bring the embassies up from D.C. to host the German crowd, to host the Argentinian crowd, to host the Belgian. I thought it was the greatest idea of my lifetime other than MTV. I thought of that when I was a kid in 78. But it was the best idea I ever had. So this is what I did. In 2010, I called a guy named Don Moeller and Nancy Hafford. And I said, let's do a viewing party. Because the U.S. opened against England. Do you remember that? Day one. We played England.
Yes.
And Don got together with county executive, and we got the square up in Towson, and we brought a big screen TV in. And Comcast never paid the bill, and I got screwed out of 10 grand. But it's a long story, but that was my idea. So 4 years later, the best idea I ever had is literally the one event I've lost the most amount of money on in my life,
right?
That I involve friends, I involve, and so the soccer thing. And I know Ed's been trying to make money, and Ed's never made a nickel on it. The soccer thing and turning it into a business and getting people involved that aren't immigrants. To your point, the American pushback over our lifetime on soccer. So many times, how many arguments have you had in your lifetime with somebody who hates soccer?
Well, right. It's not the
it's an American
sport. There's not enough scoring. Although the women's team is so terrific.
But this is how much I love soccer, I saw it, and you saw the passion at the beach around a couple weeks ago. And I said to myself, now we have this opportunity. We had an opportunity for Baltimore to be a part of it, and Baltimore's still a part
of
it.
But let me tell you where we're going to take your idea.
Please do.
Because I was there, I think it's Slante, when we lost whatever year that was. I was with Terry, and Bill Clinton was there. But now we won. The United States is getting the World Cup in 2026. We got it. So, and with M&T and Dick Cass and the Stadium Authority, imagine if we can host the World Cup in 2026. And you'll know a couple of years before, you could then do your idea of leading up to the World Cup, festivals, bring people together. I think you have a great idea, and we ought to rally it around the World Cup. You know, years ago with the NFL, we said, give Baltimore the ball.
Right.
Well, we could come up with something like that leading up to the World Cup for 2026.
I had never known anything about the World Cup until 1994. And I was drinking beer with Mike Messina at Hooters late one night in the summer of 1994. And we looked up, and there were 200 people in blue with their faces painted blue at 11:30 at night that walked into Hooters. And they were in Baltimore to go to the Norway World Cup
which
game
was in
the next day
in D.C.
The summer of 94. And they had no idea who Messina was and nothing about baseball. But they were all wearing Norway flags and jerseys. And they had taken over downtown Baltimore because this is just where they could get a cheap room, and it was 45 minutes away.
D.C.
And Norwegian people stayed in Baltimore in the summer of 94 for the World Cup.
Well, you know, what's always been interesting. It's been interesting in what I'll call a little bit of a disconnect for me in having difficulty to understand why soccer, which you still believe has a future here, has never, as you said, Nestor, been able to really be monetized, because starting very, very soon, in a couple of weeks, drive anywhere
and not
in
see
Baltimore
a kid kicking a soccer ball.
Every field is going to be filled with teams and rec leagues from 4 years old on up to, as you said, high school and beyond, thousands and thousands of kids, both in the city and in the counties, in the surrounding counties. And for some reason, that hasn't translated as those kids become adults into fan support. Well, but it seems like it has the opportunity to do so.
You're right, Don. And all my kids played. I was a coach, great kids. First, in 1994, we hosted the World Cup in the United States, and that's when Major League Soccer began. And last night, MLS played their All-Star game. They played against a Spanish team. So the MLS is a big success, and they're adding teams. So there is a league where people make money, and we have DC United not that far, and we have the USL, which is a league below that. So I think you're seeing it. The second thing is the world is shrinking. DLA Piper, my law firm, people all around the world, and they care about soccer. And I would interact with my colleagues in Liverpool and London, and they would talk about Sheffield United and soccer. It brings people together. And even beyond that, people who work in Baltimore come from around the world, Under Armour, Hopkins, and they all care deeply about it. It is the global sport.
No doubt.
And Baltimore has a rich tradition. You may not. I bet I'll catch you on something. Did you know that Pele played at Memorial Stadium?
I know. My dad was supposed to take me. My dad took me to
you
a
knew
Bays
it.
Game. My dad took me to
Baltimore
a Bays game.
Bays.
I remember it.
Baltimore Bays.
I don't remember. It's very foggy to me. 72, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there. I went one time. My dad knew nothing of soccer. My dad grew up in Pennsylvania, boxing, basketball, baseball guy. But the soccer part of this, and we had a friendly at Memorial Stadium with Ecuador.
I was there. Remember that? I was there. Right,
so
right,
that
right.
team stayed in the Towson-Sheridan when I broadcast from the Towson-Sheridan. I had pictures of Steve Sampson kissing me, Preki. Huh. I had pictures of me and Tab Ramos in the studio.
That's funny.
That's 25 years ago. Petey Carinci and I had some dinner at a Roost Chris a couple weeks ago talking about those days. Soccer, we've been waiting for soccer to happen, right?
It's coming. Well, I love that story.
About 26 here, okay. And Petey told me this, is that even if we don't get games, there might be two or three teams, four teams that house here. So in other words, if the Brazilian team played in D.C., but they used Baltimore as the base.
Absolutely.
You would then have 50,000 Brazilians that wanted to stay here. They would train over at UMBC or at Towson or Morgan, wherever it would be.
Right.
And their fan bases. So it might even be more of a benefit to Baltimore to not get a game, but to have four
teams that host you. You could have both. But if that didn't happen,
it wouldn't be a loss if we were a host and filled our hotels with German, Brazilian, Argentinian, Irish, whatever it would be that would qualify, that could be a big part of this too.
Right.
Because the country is going to embrace this. I know times are tough. I know patriotism's a little weird right now. But I have a feeling if we all live long enough to
2026.
It's going to be a huge year for America and soccer and the world stage on this. It really is.
It will. Well, here's the other thing about Baltimore is we've got wonderful college teams. I went to Loyola College. I was a lacrosse player. But some of my great friends, Phil Tirabassi and others, Loyola has a great hat and has a great soccer team. As you mentioned, Don, Petey Carinci, UMBC, world-class team, beat Maryland.
Amazing.
Beautiful Final pitch. Great team that Petey has up there.
Go
at UMBC.
Retrievers.
Yep, right. They beat Maryland. And Maryland, by the way, Sasha Sarovsky, great school, great program. So we've always had college-level, high-quality soccer around here. So it's coming.
So this has been Baltimore Positive on soccer.
Yeah. We finally did sports. It took 37 episodes.
It took a lot of episodes, but it's all tied back.
I'm sticking to sports.
It's all tied back to Baltimore Positive. When we come back, though, we are going to wrap up in one final segment and really take a deep dive into Baltimore, some of the issues, and how Paul and the others who are trying to make a difference.
We're going to talk about the future of the Orioles as well. Paul DeBerzi here, DLA Piper, Greater Baltimore Committee Chair, as well as soccer aficionado Don Moeller. We're at Yomps, and we're at Jennings Cafe. We're here in Catonsville. There's never any hate to 21228. State Fair also sponsoring us. We're going to be at Fadley's. The whole calendar up at BaltimorePositive.com, and we got craft beer festivals going on over here in Catonsville as well. Step out, take a break. WNST and Baltimore Positive back for more from the Ville in part 3 of our chat with Paul DeBerzi right after this.